So in yesterday's reading of Srila Prabhupada's introduction to the Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada has been making the point that in conditioned life, one thinks oneself to be the creator as well as the enjoyer, but both are false. Actually, one is neither the creator nor the enjoyer. One is simply the created and the enjoyed. One has to only be the cooperator and not try to artificially be an imitator creator or imitator enjoyer. The word Purusha actually means the enjoyer, the Supreme Lord. But sometimes the word Purusha also refers to the soul in this material world. And therefore the Bhagavad Gita, we find the verse Purushaha Prakriti Stholi Bhukte Prakriti Jai Gune Karanam Guru Sangosya Sat Asat Yoni Janmasu. When the Purusha, the false Purusha, that is the conditioned soul, wants to be the enjoyer, Prakriti, over the material nature, Purusha Prakriti Sthaha, he, being situated in the Prakriti, in the material world, Bhukte Prakriti Jai Gune, Bhukte means to enjoy. So being situated in the lower material energy, when the jiva wants to enjoy that Prakriti, wants to exploit the resources of material nature, to use Prabhupada's words, then what happens? Sat asat yoni janmasu karanam guna sangaha asya. He becomes associated with the three modes of material nature, although constitutionally he is beyond. But he starts identifying himself as part of the material world. And therefore, sat asat yoni janmasu. Therefore, he is forced to take birth in different species of life, both low and high. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam paro vimadate nartham yat kritam chapi patyate. In the Srimad Bhagavat also we find a similar statement. When the spirit soul becomes bewildered by maya, yaya sammohitaha. Mohita means to become charmed or influenced, and sammoha means complete charm, be completely captivated. So when the jiva is completely bewildered by the workings of material nature, the jiva starts imagining himself to be a product of material nature. In fact, there were some articles that I read many years ago, I remember, that there was a small boy who was lost in his village. It's a true story. He was lost from his village. Somehow or other, he had wandered into the forest and nobody could find him. And after many years, in some distant place, some other villagers found this young man who, although a human being by all appearances, he was crawling on the ground, he was making noises like some animals, he was eating like the way the animals do, he was behaving exactly like the animals. And then all these sociologists and anthropologists and so on, they all came and they studied this person. And they found that actually, by association with that animal society, that some animals had given him shelter and kind of nourished and nurtured him and raised him, so he had begun to imagine himself to be an animal like them. because he had also been living with them. He had been born and brought up amongst them. So he was imagining himself to be an animal, whereas actually he was a human being. Because of association. So similarly, with the jiva, who is by nature superior energy, superior to the inferior material energy. When the jiva becomes associated with that matter, then he starts identifying himself with that lower matter. And he starts behaving like that. Yaya sammohito jiva atmanam trigunatmakam. So the Atma imagines himself to be a product of the three modes of material nature. And because of this, he actually acts in that way also. He acts in a way that is contrary to his constitutional position. Paraha api manute anartham. Paraha api. Although he is paraha, although the jiva is superior, but manute anartham. But he imagines himself to belong to the lower nature, the material nature. So that is the predicament of the soul who is lost in the material world. He imagines himself to be a product of material nature, whereas he is not. Actually, the jiva has nothing to do with the material creation. The jiva is a foreigner here. The jiva is an alien. And the jiva is feeling homesick for Krishna. The jiva is actually thirsting for Krishna the way we are thirsting for water now. But the jiva is not able to understand the nature of its thirst. So instead of thirsting for Krishna, which means that we are thirsting for love, for eternal life, for eternal knowledge, for eternal relationships in that sphere, we are thirsting for that perverted reflection for want of proper knowledge, and therefore we thirst for the pleasures of this world. So unless we give up the pleasures of this world, which are characteristic of those who want to be the enjoyers, we cannot understand or we cannot partake of the pleasures of that world, which is the real pleasure. In the preface to the Krishna book, Srila Prabhupada quotes this very wonderful verse which Parikshit Maharaj speaks in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nivritta tarshay rupakiyamanat bhavau shidashrotra manobhiyamat kautama shloka gunanuvadat vina pashubnat puman virajita vina pashubnat. He says, who but an animal killer, or one who is very cruel, will not want to hear descriptions about Krishna? But actually, these descriptions of Krishna can be only heard and relished by those who are freed from the thirst for material enjoyment. So thirst is generally called Krishna. So nivritta tarsha means where that thirst for material enjoyment has been destroyed. So for one whose thirst for material enjoyment is no longer there, such a person can relish and enjoy Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it is hard. It's not a cheap thing. Just the other day, I was telephoning somebody. And nowadays you have all these varieties of ringtones. And so this particular ringtone was some song in Hindi, supposedly a devotional song, but the way it was sung, the style it was sung, and you could understand this was just a commercial singer who was singing for some money. It was not really a devotee. This whole commercialization is making devotional service appear so cheap. It makes Krishna appear so cheap. And in this song, which I was forced to hear because I wanted to speak to that person, the singer was saying, Krishna, O Krishna, Krishna, I'm feeling Krishna for you. So the moment I see you, then my Krishna for this world will go away. Which is right. Which is alright, that when you actually experience the pleasure, the higher pleasure of Krishna consciousness, then you give up the lower pleasure to this material world. But it's not a cheap thing the way this song was making it out to be. It's a very serious business. Becoming qualified to experience the higher pleasure of the spiritual world is not an ordinary thing. It's serious business. It's not just a question of singing some song and stating that we have Krishna for Krishna because it makes a nice rhyme. So when one is actually properly situated in the association of devotees, then one begins to understand, the realization begins to dawn, that actually I am not a part of this material nature. I don't belong here. So this feeling for wanting to live ever, forever, this desire, this hankering for wanting to be happy in life, this basic curiosity in us that makes us want to know so many things, this is simply a perverted reflection of our eternal existence in the spiritual world. We want to be happy because actually we are, but we have forgotten. We want to live eternally because we are eternal, but because we are identifying ourselves with matter, so we imagine I am this body, oh I am going to die, I am going to be born, I am going to be old. So it's a question of giving up this false sense of controllership and enjoyership. And then cooperating with Krishna, as Prabhupada says, in Krishna's enjoyment. And Prabhupada has given in yesterday's reading actually four analogies for this. Does anybody remember? Let us see. From what we have read yesterday and discussed, Prabhupada actually gives four analogies to this principle of how the bard also enjoys when he cooperates with the whole. So Prabhupada wants to make the point that the jiva serves Krishna and cooperates with Krishna's will, then Krishna is satisfied and the jiva is satisfied. So what are those four examples Prabhupada gives, the analogies? One, the stomach and the body, very good. So when we feed the stomach, automatically all the senses of the body are nourished and happy. The stomach is like Krishna. The rest of the body is like the rest of creation. Yes, second, the root of the tree and all the parts of the tree. Krishna is the root of creation, everything else is a part of that tree. Third, the small nut or a bolt or a part of the machine and the entire machine itself. Every small part in the machine plays its useful role for the larger machine, so that the whole machine functions properly. And the fourth one. Yes? What are you saying? No, bulb was the example I gave, that was not Prabhupada's example. Prabhupada in the reading, in the text here, in the introduction, he says the example is of a master and servant. When a servant serves the master nicely, the master becomes satisfied. And by seeing the master satisfied, the servant also becomes satisfied. Like that, we have our relationship with Krishna. So when we serve Krishna, then Krishna becomes satisfied and we also become satisfied. Actually, it is not that the enjoyed doesn't enjoy. Prabhupada emphasizes that actually the enjoyed also enjoys. There is a nature of the part wanting to serve the whole. The whole enjoys because he is given enjoyment by the enjoyed, and the enjoyed also experiences enjoyment. In fact, we experience also in this world that it gives more pleasure to serve than to be served. The enjoyed experiences greater enjoyment than the enjoyer. And that is why Krishna wants to become a devotee. And therefore Krishna comes as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna is thinking, Saukhyam chasya mat anubhavataha ki drisham veti lobhat. As Kaviraj Goswami says in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna wants to understand the happiness that Srimati Radharani feels when she loves him. Because he understands that Srimati Radharani is experiencing far greater happiness in her devotional service to Krishna than Krishna himself is experiencing. And Krishna wants to know what is that enjoyment that the enjoyed is experiencing, which even he as the enjoyer is not experiencing. So for those who want to argue that it is harsh on the part of God to make all other categories as enjoyed and only himself as enjoyer, the answer is that actually this is the mercy of Krishna, because the enjoyed actually enjoys more than the enjoyer. This is Krishna's divine arrangement. Srimati Radharani of course represents the origin and the sum and substance and the complete whole of devotion. She is the ocean or the reservoir of devotion. So the same way as tiny drops, particles of droplets of this ocean of devotion, we may be insignificant, but still we can enjoy incalculable transcendental bliss that we cannot imagine in the conditioned state. The conditioned state, in the conditioned state, we imagine happiness only according to sense gratification. Inasmuch as a beggar sitting on the street measures his enjoyment according to the stale food that some people give him, he has no conception of a grand feast in which a wealthy person is enjoying all kinds of delicious foodstuffs. So two beggars in the street may be quarreling with each other for a dirty, old, hard, torn chapati, thinking that is something for the day. So similarly here, living entities are struggling and quarreling with each other for sense gratification in a harsh, struggling competition for the limited resources of this material world. Little realizing that as rich sons of a rich father, they have little to worry about if they actually cooperate with the father's will. When Krishna is all opulent, he has everything, he can provide us with more than anything that we could need, still we feel ourselves in want. We want more and more. It's simply because we have disconnected ourselves from him who could easily supply us with everything we need and much more. In fact, the devotee of the Lord enjoys all the opulences, all the powers, everything that the Supreme Lord has by virtue of his becoming a confidential associate of the Lord. So therefore, for the living entity to become a cooperator, to become the enjoyed, is a wise thing to do. It's logical, because the living entity benefits greatly from that. And all other living entities also benefit. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is emphasizing the constitutional position of the living entity as the enjoyed, as the cooperator. So let us now continue our reading of Srila Prabhupada's introduction, page 13, the last paragraph. We shall find, therefore, in this Bhagavad Gita, that the complete whole is comprised of the Supreme Controller, the controlled living entities, the cosmic manifestation, eternal time and karma, or activities. And all these are explained in this text. All of these completely form the complete whole. And the complete whole is called the Supreme Absolute Truth. The complete whole and the complete absolute truth are the complete personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. All manifestations are due to His different energies. He is the complete whole. This is also another very important concept, that the Absolute Truth is the complete whole. W-H-O-L-E. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the introduction, Srila Prabhupada's very first lines are that there is a difference in the conception of God and in the conception of Absolute Truth. Why? Can anyone say? Why is there a difference in the conception of God and the conception of Absolute Truth? Who remembers reading the introduction of the Bhagavatam? Or even from anywhere else in Prabhupada's teachings? Yes, Mother. Can somebody repeat, please? I could not hear. I can't hear at all. Somebody please hear and tell me, please. Somebody can go there and hear and tell me. We should have a sound system here, I think. A sound mic. Yes, please say it loud so everyone can hear. Very nice. Absolutely. The conception of God means controller. It refers to this, to the controller. But the Absolute Truth includes everything. More specifically, the Absolute Truth indicates He who is a source of all energies, who is a source of everything. Therefore, the very first verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam begins with Janmadi Asya Tataha. The Absolute Truth, who is known as Vasudev or Sri Krishna, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, is He from whom everything emanates. So the fundamental definition of the Absolute Truth is not that He is the controller of everything. Controllership is a secondary qualification or a quality or a characteristic. The primary characteristic is that He is the source and the origin of everything. And that encompasses everything. It encompasses controllership, proprietorship, enjoyership, and anything that we can think of. So the Supreme Absolute Truth, or the complete whole, encompasses everything. As far as controllership, yes, Prabhupada explains, there are so many delegated controllers who are called Vibhutimat Sattvam according to the Bhagavad Gita. Which verse? Can anyone quote? In which verse does Krishna talk about delegated controllers? Individuals in whom He has invested the power of controllership to a limited degree. Yad yad vibhutimat sattvam srimat urjitam evava tat tat evavavachatvam mama tirjoncha sambhavam. Krishna says that whatever you see in this world that is glorious, that is beautiful, is just a spark of My splendor. Mama teja anshaha sambhavam. Sambhavam means to produce. So all the splendor and the glory and the beauty that is seen in this world is simply a product of an infinitesimally small portion of My splendor. It's not even directly My splendor, Krishna says. It originates from a spark of My splendor. So all these Vibhutimat Sattvams, all these demigods and all the other powerful controllers in creation are but tiny, insignificant sparks of Krishna's energy. But Krishna, the Supreme Absolute Truth, is He who is the source of everything and the Supreme Controller. So he is the complete whole. And that is the point Srila Prabhupada is making in this paragraph. And he says that the complete whole and the complete absolute truth are the complete personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. So the person Krishna is the complete whole. Sometimes people cannot accommodate a person as being something complete, because we have experience of personality in this world. And as personalities, we always feel the lack of something. But Krishna, although he is a person, he is not a limited person like us. So his personality is complete. Complete in what way? The Ishapanishad declares, Om Purnamidha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Who can give the translation of this verse? Or you can paraphrase the translation in your own words. Who would like to this? Talk about Krishna as the supreme complete whole. Yes, who would like to? Yes. Yes. Purnam idam, purnam adaha. That is complete, this is complete. Purna, purnam udachyate. The Lord is supreme and complete. And His creation, this is also perfect and complete. And any number of creations, complete wholes, emanate from that complete whole. And even though this happens, that original complete whole does not diminish. This is not something we experience in the material world. In the material world, everything diminishes. If you take out something from something else, then that diminishes. For example, if you take away 100 rupees from me, please don't, but in case you do, then I become poorer by 100 rupees. So there's a lack in me. 100 rupees. I'm short of 100 rupees than what I was before. So I don't remain complete when something is taken away from me. If I exert myself and work on something, I expend energy. I end up being something lesser than what I was before. I am lesser for that energy. I don't have as much energy as I had before. So I have to replenish my energy. But Krishna is not like that. Krishna is the inexhaustible complete whole. So even though unlimited complete wholes which are part of Him may emanate from Him, there is no diminution, there is no lack, there is no shortage in Him at any point in time. So Krishna never gets tired. Even though he is keeping on creating, maintaining, destroying, he is keeping on enjoying pastimes in the spiritual world, tireless, because he is inexhaustible, because he is the complete, complete whole. When Hanuman went to Lanka and he burnt the whole city of Lanka, Ravana and his followers were infuriated. And they tried to capture him, but in vain. Eventually, Ravana sent his son, Indrajit or Meghnad, who had acquired a lot of celestial weapons. And Meghnad tried some special weapon which was given by Brahma. And Hanuman could easily have avoided that, but in order to honor Brahma, in order to not see that Brahma's name would be spoiled, he agreed to get himself bound by that rope. And then he came in front of Ravana. And in front of everyone, Ravana asked him, "Who are you?" And Hanuman gave that very famous reply. He said, "Dasoham Kosalindrasya Ramasya Klishta Karmanaha." He says, "Dasa Aham, I am a servant of whom? Ramasya, of Ram, of the one who is the king of Kosala country, Kosala Indrasya. And what is the nature of this Ram? A Krishna Karmanaha. He who never gets tired in any of his activities. So who cannot get tired in any activities? Only the Supreme. Only one who is completely on the spiritual platform. Who is a complete whole. Indefatigable. This is the complete whole. So even the creation, the universes that emanate from him are in and of themselves complete wholes. Although they are part of him, but even the part is complete within itself. Actually, everything, even within this little universe, is complete. The human body is a complete whole. The ant's body is a complete whole. The atom is a complete whole. Krishna's creation is mind-boggling. If any scientist were to truly understand the nature of how God has created infinite complete wholes within one complete whole, and that complete whole still remains complete and there is nothing lacking in him, then their science would be perfect. So this is the meaning of complete. Complete means that there is never any diminution. There is never any reduction in him. Even though he may go on producing any amount of complete wholes. Just like the proverbial touchstone, which can go on producing gold just by touching. It touches iron, makes it gold. It doesn't lose its potency. In the same way, Krishna's potency never gets degraded. On the contrary, Krishna's energies remain always fully in bloom, always increasing. Everything about Krishna is ever increasing, never decreasing. So this is the meaning of the complete whole. So having explained this, he says that the complete whole is a person. He is Krishna. And not only is he just the supreme controller, but he is the origin of all these other things. He is the origin of the other four truths also. And apart from that, he is also the control, the origin of something else, which now Krishna is going to, or Prabhupada is going to talk about in the next paragraph. So let us read the next paragraph of the introduction, the second para on page 14. It is also explained in the Gita that impersonal Brahman is also subordinate to the complete Supreme Person. Brahmano hi pratishthaham. Unquote. So here Prabhupada is making the point, not only is Krishna the Supreme Absolute Truth, the source of the material creation and the jivas who are in the material creation, he is also the source of something that exists in the spiritual realm, and that is the impersonal Brahman. He is the source of that as well. Quote, Brahman is more explicitly explained in the Brahma Sutra to be like rays of the sunshine. The impersonal Brahman is the shining rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Impersonal Brahman is incomplete realization of the Absolute Whole. And so also is the conception of the Paramatma. In the 15th chapter, it shall be seen that the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottam, is above both impersonal Brahman and the partial realization of Paramatma. In the 15th, I beg your pardon, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is called Satchidananda Vigraha. The Brahma Samhita begins in this way. Ishvara Paramaha Krishna Satchitananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govindam Sarvakarana Karanam. Govinda, Krishna, is the cause of all causes. He is the primal cause, and he is the very form of eternity, knowledge and bliss. Impersonal Brahman realization is the realization of his Sat or eternity feature. Paramatma realization is a realization of Sat Chit, eternity and knowledge. But realization of the personality of Godhead Krishna is realization of all the transcendental features, Sat, Chit and Ananda, eternity, knowledge and bliss, incomplete Vigraha form, unquote. So again, very important points being made here. Again, I would like to emphasize on how every paragraph in this introduction is so heavy, so loaded with meaning and substance. Every line is something that we feel we should memorize because it's so important. Because this introduction gives the distilled essence of the whole Bhagavad Gita philosophy. So it is really very important. And anyone who wants to understand spiritual knowledge must read this introduction first. Actually, it is a good thing in our preaching endeavor that when people come to us and we recommend that they should read certain books, probably one of the first things we should recommend them to read is this introduction. And it is now being published by the BBT as a separate booklet for the sake of convenience in our preaching endeavors. So Prabhupada is saying here that Krishna, being the Supreme Absolute Truth, is also the source of not just the material nature, karma, kala and jivas, but is also the source of other aspects of the Absolute Truth. Krishna, the person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the source of other aspects of Godhead. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is explained, Vadanti tat tattva vidas, tattvam yad jnanam advayam, brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. The Absolute Truth manifests Himself in three ways. One is the impersonal Brahman. The second is the localized super soul or the Paramatma. And the third is Bhagavan, who refers to the person, personality of Godhead. So, Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman is the first point being made here in this paragraph. Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita 14th chapter, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham. I am the origin and the rest of the impersonal Brahman. Just like the sun rays are the rest, or rather the sun is the origin and the rest of the sun rays. Similarly, the person Krishna is the origin and the rest of the impersonal Brahman. The Brahman is simply the bodily effulgence of Krishna. The localized super soul is nothing but the expansion of Krishna. The expansion of the expansion of Krishna in this material world. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that when a king organizes a fair, a mela, for the enjoyment of the citizens, just like we have the Kumbh Mela, which is a huge festival, the biggest spiritual festival in the whole world, then the government dispatches its own officers to go and supervise. So we see that in the Kumbh Mela, the government of India dispatches some very senior officers from the Indian Administrative Service, IAS, and they have responsibility for overseeing the arrangements for the Kumbh Mela. So Jiva Goswami says that when there is a special fair that is being organized by the government for the pleasure and enjoyment of the citizens, the government may nominate some government official to go there for a temporary purpose to facilitate the enjoyment of the citizens in that fair. When that fair is over, then that particular officer's job is over also, and he returns to the service of the king in the capital city. In the same way, this material world is like one big fair for the jiva. we are here on the merry-go-rounds and the Ferris wheel and trying to enjoy all the games here, trying to enjoy our senses, being fascinated by the razzle-dazzle of this world, trying to enjoy the objects of the senses. And Krishna has sent his officer here to oversee, to facilitate our enjoyment. The Upanishads say that Krishna has been fulfilling the desires of the jivas from time immemorial. But Krishna does not do this as the original personality in Goloka. He does this in the form of the Paramatma, who although is an ansha or a part of himself, but is like an officer who is given delegated powers. Mama Teja Ansha Sambhava. So the Paramatma is a temporary manifestation of the Supreme Absolute Truth. The Paramatma or the Super Soul is a temporary form of God who exists, or rather, who is manifested only for the duration of the material creation. When the creation is not existing, he remains merged within Mahavishnu, from whom he ultimately comes. And Mahavishnu, of course, ultimately originates from Krishna. So the Paramatma is present in the heart of every living being and in every atom, and in that sense he is all pervasive. And Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains that the Lord has occupied the hearts of every living being as Paramatma in the same way as the sun reflects itself in many jewels who are kept under the sunlight. In every jewel that you see, you will see the sun reflected. If there are 50 jewels kept in different places, in each jewel you will see the same sun. Or another example is that of a pot of oil. Keep 50 pots of oil under the sun, and in each pot of oil, when you look within, you will see the reflection of the sun. So there is only one sun, but that one sun becomes reflected as 50 suns in these different pots of oil. In the same way that one Supreme Lord, Krishna, manifests himself in so many reflective forms, so to speak, in the hearts of every living entity. But even then, as we have said, this is a temporary manifestation. It is a secondary manifestation. The ultimate absolute truth is the personality, Sri Krishna. Then what to speak of the Brahman? The Brahman has no personality. It is formless, although it is conscious. Therefore it is Sat, it is eternal. Anything that is conscious is eternal. Eternity is consciousness and consciousness is eternity. This is also stated in the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. These are things we will come to as and when we reach the particular sections of the Gita. So because Brahman is consciousness, even though it doesn't have a form, it has consciousness. Therefore, only the Sat feature of the Absolute Truth is realized in the Brahman. And the Jnanis who practice the path of Jnana Yoga, they realize the Brahman and therefore the Sat feature. The yogis go one step further by the practice of Ashtanga Yoga. They understand the Lord who is present in the heart of every living being, and they experience, in addition to the Sat feature, the Chit feature, also the knowledge feature. As Prabhupada says here, therefore, Paramatma realization means Sat Chit realization. But Krishna, the source of the Brahman and the Paramatma, is a complete form of eternity, knowledge and bliss, Satchidananda Vigraha, as Brahma says. And therefore, realization of Bhagavan is the complete realization of the Absolute Truth. It is the realization of Sat, Chit and Ananda. So therefore, Bhagavan is the complete whole. The devotee realizes Bhagavan, and therefore the realization of the devotee is complete. The realization of the Ashtanga Yogi is incomplete. And the realization of the Jnani who worships the Brahman is even more incomplete. It is not wrong to say that the Jnani is worshipping the Absolute Truth. Neither is it wrong to say that the yogi is worshipping the Absolute Truth. But their understanding and realization of the Absolute Truth is incomplete. Whereas the devotee's realization of the Absolute Truth is complete because he realizes Him who is the source of all other aspects of the Absolute Truth. So, Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakaranakara. So, it is only the devotee who actually relishes Ananda. Neither the yogi or the jnani can experience the bliss that is the prerogative of the devotee. If you were given a choice that you could live for millions of years in this very same body with full health, full vigor, being a multi-billionaire, but you have to be confined to one room and you can't have any friendships, you can't have any relationships, would you accept that offer? On the other hand, you can be what you are now. We have this material body which is always a cause of suffering. We are undergoing a tremendous struggle for material existence. We realize how much this body can torment us. Today we realize it a little more than other days. So which of the two choices would we take? How many would prefer the first choice? Nobody. Therefore, by implication, everybody prefers the second choice. Why? Just imagine, you will be a multi-billionaire. Full health, full youth, full vigor, beauty, intelligence. Everything is available. So why not? Why don't you want to accept it? Who would answer? Yes. Why don't you want to accept this proposal? Yes. Because there is no relationship. Well, so what? So what if there is no relationship? What is wrong with that?
With whom to share that happiness?
With whom to share that happiness, yes. Actually, the deeper point is there is no happiness without relationship. Happiness exists only in relationships. Happiness cannot exist without relationship. Happiness cannot exist in isolation or in solitude. To some extent, of course, solitude is necessary. But for a devotee, that makes one relish and appreciate the value of devotee association even more. Therefore, Ramananda Rai, when asked by Mahaprabhu as to what the greatest suffering in the world is, doesn't reply that the greatest suffering is to lose all our money, is to lose our wealth. No. What does he say the greatest suffering is? To not have the association of devotees. In other words, pleasure is directly a function of relationships. That is why, Eko Bahusyam, even the Supreme Absolute Truth, even though he is Atmaram, is completely self-sufficient, expands himself into infinite number of parts and parcels with whom he wants to exchange rasa. Relationship means rasa, that particular mellow or taste which is very delicious. Because in this world we cannot experience the pure blissful spiritual relationships, that is our nature in the spiritual world. We try to experience them here in a perverted form. And when we are frustrated, we even try to relish that in machines, in computers, that Shantara's perverted form. And nowadays especially we find people sitting hours and hours together in front of the computer, in front of machines. We lose our humanness by being too much involved with machines and being less involved with people and living beings. Being involved with living beings, even their animals, is superior to interacting with machines. Therefore, Prabhupada used to say that there are people in old age who become so lonely because they don't have relationships with their children or with their family members or whatever, that they keep dozens of cats and dogs as pets. Because that is better than loneliness. Because even with cats and dogs, there is some reciprocation of love. In fact, there is no one more faithful and loyal than a dog. That's how people say. The dog is very loyal. At least a dog will not backbite us, will not betray us, will not speak ill about us, will be very faithful to us. So actually, there is no happiness. There is no happiness without love. And there is no love without relationships. And that doesn't exist in the impersonal Brahman. Impersonal Brahman only has existence, that's all. So what use is that existence? Therefore, Brahmaji explains in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Yenye ravinadaksha vimuktamaninas dvayasta bhavad avishuddha buddhayaha Aruhya krichrena parampadam tataha patantyado anadrita yushmadangrayaha. He says, my dear Lord, there are those who are not devotees. Ye, yaha, anye. Anye means others, that means they are not devotees. Aravinda Aksha, O lotus eyed one. Now these other people who are not your devotees, vimukta maninaha, they imagine themselves to be vimukta or to be liberated. Tvayasta bhavat avishuddha buddhayaha. But actually their intelligence has become contaminated. It's not pure intelligence. In their impure, contaminated state, they imagine themselves to be liberated, but they are not. Arhya krishrena. With great difficulty, with a lot of austerities, they have risen to some position which they imagine to be the supreme, param padam tataha. They think, I have attained the param pad, that supreme position, but they haven't. And therefore, patanti adhaha. Patanti means to fall. So therefore they fall down. Anadrita, because they have disregarded. Yushmat, your angraha, angri, your lotus feet. So because these worshippers of the impersonal Brahman have disregarded your personal form, they do not want to have a relationship with you in love. Therefore, even though they have performed austerities and they imagine themselves to be liberated, they are not actually liberated. And even when they are situated in the Brahman, they will fall down into the material creation again. Because there is no rus there. There is no taste, there is no mellow. There is no relationship, there is no love, no happiness. So simply living a long life is of no value. Similarly, even the Paramatma realization can give us some semblance of spirituality. But it gives only peace, because there is knowledge and existence here, sat and chit. So it gives a kind of peace. At the most, it can bring us to the platform of the Shantaras by further concentrating on the Paramatma in the heart. At least the yogi is understanding the Lord as a person somewhat. So there is some kind of relationship and appreciation of the beauty of the Lord or of the mercy of the Lord and so on. But because there is not an active sense of service, so it is not really a full-blown devotional service. It is only bhakti that can actually bring happiness, because it gives us the realization of the absolute truth as a complete person. And one can actually reciprocate with Krishna and have exchanges of love with the Supreme Personality of Godhead directly. This is the process, the glory of devotional service. Therefore, bhakti leads us to the complete experience of the complete absolute truth, Satchidananda Vigraha. And it is Krishna who is a source of not only the material world and the jivas and kala and karma, not only is he a source of the Brahman and the Paramatma. And here is the astonishing part. He is also the source of Bhagavan. Now somebody will say, well, I thought Krishna is Bhagavan. So how can you say Krishna is the source of Bhagavan? Would somebody like to explain this? Who would explain this point? Yes. Bhagavan sometimes refers to great personalities. No. Not that. Yes. Yes, that's the correct answer. That the word Bhagavan includes not just Krishna, it includes all the personalities of Godhead. There is not just one personality of Godhead. How many are there? How many? Innumerable. In the spiritual world itself, there are innumerable personalities of Godhead. All directing the affairs, the blissful affairs of spiritual pastimes on every Vaikuntha Loka, spiritual planet in the spiritual world. So all these Vishnu Tattva forms, all these expansions and the expansions of the Lord are also in the category of Supreme Personality of Godhead. They are also Bhagavan. They also have, they are also complete in all opulences. So Krishna is a source of even all these Bhagavans, all these Vishnu Tattvas. So this Krishna of Goloka Vrindavan is the Supreme Absolute Truth, the complete whole, who is being referred to here by Srila Prabhupada in this paragraph. Ete chansakalam punsa Krishna stu Bhagavan Swayam Indrari Vyakulam Loke Vidayanti Hivege. This is one of the most important foundational verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, because it introduces us to the concept of the original complete absolute truth being Sri Krishna of Vrindavan. Krishna is the source of all the other aspects of Godhead, of Bhagavan Tattva. Not just Brahman Tattva and Paramatma Tattva, but Krishna is the source even of all the Bhagavat Tattvas. This is the position of Krishna, who is the complete absolute truth, the complete whole. This is what it means to be the absolute truth. And this is what it means to be experiencing that supreme absolute truth. So we are all headed for that experience. We are already experiencing to some degree, depending on the progress we have made in our Krishna consciousness. But if we simply persevere, then one day Krishna will mercifully bestow that realization, Satchidananda realization on us. And we will then become eligible to be transferred for the complete Satchidananda experience in the association of the complete absolute truth, Sri Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan. That is the completeness and perfection of our life. Although we are complete wholes, our imperfection arises in that we don't realize in what lies our perfection and completeness. Our perfection and completeness lies in dovetailing ourselves with the complete whole, Krishna. So we are emanation complete wholes. Krishna is the emanator complete whole, the origin complete whole. So the perfection of the emanated complete wholes is to link themselves up in love and devotion with the original complete whole. That is our completeness. So our completeness is not in becoming God. Our completeness is in realizing our sense of dependence and relationship with the Supreme Absolute Whole, Sri Krishna. So thank you. We'll continue later. It's a little late now. We'll continue with the subsequent paragraphs, where Prabhupada has continued his masterly analysis of the Absolute Truth. So we'll stop here. Are there any questions or comments? Yes.
Yes.
can the Brahma Jyoti, can a particle of the Brahma Jyoti, the living entity, the Atma, think that I am an atomic spark of the Brahma Jyoti, I am coming from Krishna? No. In Brahman, there is no realization of connection with Krishna in that way, of the person Krishna. Generally, it is not so. There is only existence. There is no realization of the Bhagavan feature of the Lord. And therefore, by implication, there is no understanding of the connection that the jiva has with that Bhagavan. Yes. Is Brahma Jyoti thinking like that? Brahma Jyoti is the absolute truth. But it's not the complete absolute truth. It's a partial representation of the absolute truth. So therefore from the Vadanti Tat Tattva Vidas verse we understand that it is not wrong to say that Brahman is God, is the absolute truth. But it is not complete. It's not a complete representation of the absolute truth. In as much as it is not wrong to say that my hand is my body. But there is much more to my body than just the hand. Krishna is a source of the impersonal Brahman. That has to be the main point to be understood here from today's discussion. Yes.
Yes.
So the question is that in the sat-chit realization of the yogis, doesn't he have the understanding of his relationship with Krishna? The answer is no, not in an intimate way like that. His realization of his relationship with Krishna is still in a very formal and official kind of way, in a distant kind of way. It is not with intimacy. There is a restriction on the freedom, on the intimacy, on the degree of devotion that the yogi feels when he perceives the absolute truth as a Paramatma within the heart. Rather than the bliss of pure love, the yogi more strongly feels peace. He feels the first rays of bliss, but he doesn't really feel bliss. Because full bliss can come only with Bhagavan realization, with the Ananda factor of the absolute truth. Any other questions? Yes.
Why did you say that Brahman realization is declared of knowledge, but actually goes on the path of knowledge as a
for? Why do we say that the Brahman realization is deprived of knowledge? The answer is when we say deprived of knowledge, it means knowledge of the personality of God, knowledge of the variegatedness in the spiritual world. There is knowledge of spirit vis-a-vis matter, but there is no mature understanding of the personality of Godhead. The question is, well, even the yogis don't have knowledge about the spiritual world, but they have knowledge at least about the form of the Lord. At least they perceive the Lord in a form, and they're appreciating that form. They appreciate the beauty of that form. So there is something definitely there, one step further, beyond what the Brahman-realized person has achieved. The Brahman-realized person is attracted only by the glare, by the glimmer, by the radiance. But the yogi at least understands the person. There is a person. Of course, from the point of view of Ashtanga Yoga, one can progress either into impersonal realization or into personal realization depending on the kind of association one gets from that point on. Yes? The question is that when the child in the womb is praying, because this is stated by Kapiladeva in the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the child prays for deliverance from the hellish condition of the womb, to which form of the Lord is he praying? Well, the conception may not be important. you just understand there is some personality, there's something there. He prays to whatever his understanding of God is. There's something that is superior. That would depend on jiva to jiva, to what extent their spiritual understanding has evolved. Yes. Yes. The statement was made that all the Bhagavans, Vishnu Tattvas, are full in six opulences. Please elaborate. Even in this completeness, there is a hierarchy. Just like, even in the stage of perfection of Godhood, there is perfect, more perfect, and most perfect. Kaviraj Goswami has explained, quoting Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Vaikuntha is perfect, Dwarka is more perfect, but Vrindavan is most perfect. And therefore, by implication, the Krishna, that is Vishnu of Vaikuntha, is perfect. Vasudev Krishna of Dwarka is more perfect, but Krishna of Vrindavan is most perfect. All are perfect. All are personalities of Godhead. But even in their perfection, there is a variation. That variation is because of rasa, of mellow, of taste. And therefore, there is a corresponding, shall we say, difference in the flavor of the six completeness of six opulences that each of the three has. Any other question? Last question, yes. Question is, it was said that Brahman represents eternal realization, sub-feature of the Absolute Truth, but they also fall down after having gone into the Brahman. So how can it be said that they have realized the eternal feature? By realizing the eternity feature, we don't mean that the soul will eternally be in the Brahman. That's not what is meant. What is meant is that the soul has realized that there is an Absolute Truth. The Absolute Truth has an eternal feature, which is the impersonal Brahman. And he realizes that part. Because even that realization doesn't give complete satisfaction because of a lack of rasa, therefore the jiva prefers to sometimes come back into the material world and enjoy the perverted rasas of this material world in preference to not having any rasas but eternity in Brahman. Okay, so we'll stop here now, it's fairly late. So thank you very much. Hope you have a very Krishna conscious remaining Nirjal Ekadashi. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Otherwise, there is a lot of smoke.